Indeed, we all praises for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him, we ask for His help, we beg for His forgiveness, and we seek refuge and protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the evils of ourselves and from the evil consequences of our own sins. Whoever Allah guides to the straight path, no force can misguide him, and whoever Allah misguides, no one can guide him to the truth. I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was his servant and his messenger. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ أَمَنَ اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ O you who believe, fear Allah, you should be feared, and die not except as Muslims. So one of the things that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasized that that Allah talks to us about in the Quran is good character. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلِقٍ عَظِيمٍ Indeed, you are of an exalted character. And one of the biggest sunnahs of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when we think of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we often think about the external aspects of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his beard, maybe his clothing, the way he prayed. Obviously, these are all very important sunnahs of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But one of the biggest sunnahs of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is actually his character, right? And the character is obviously an integral part of who he was. If we think about what the word character means, it really is the essence of a person, right? So if we think of a person, we often think about what their character is like. And when we have good, you know, thoughts about a person or bad thoughts about a person, inshallah, we avoid having bad thoughts in general, but about people specifically. But usually, it relates to their character. And we often, at least in our society, equate human progress with technological advancement. Right? If you look around us today, many people would say our society is highly progressive, highly advanced. Right? In that we have medical advancements, technological advancements, phones that can do just about anything. We can fly anywhere in the world within a day. We can travel at very high speeds. We can even cause fire without fire. Right? Which is actually a very interesting thing if you think about the use of fire by itself as a historical event, right? And oftentimes we use these as a measure of human progress, but really the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us what real human progress was, and it wasn't in advancement of technology; it was actually in the progress of one's character. And we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had the best of character of any human being who's lived in the face of the planet. He is the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was sent to us, except one of the reasons he was sent to us was to teach us good character. Because that's the essence of being a good Muslim, is having good character. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about one of the weightiest things on the Day of Judgment would be character on the scales would be a person's character. And this idea of having good character, what does it mean? What is it? It's kind of a vague, it's a very expansive word, but what does it actually translate to for us in understanding what character is? There's many aspects of character, and obviously in the scope of this khutbah, we don't have the time or the scope to go into the details of all aspects of fiqh. So I wanted to touch upon a few things of what is good character. And again, this is really the sunnah of the Prophet said, was his good character. That's what he taught us. And that was really what is a measure of human progress. That when a person can give away what they own without a thought for themselves, or they think only of other people, that they think of the poor first, that they are always considerate. All of these things encompass good character. This is the way of the Prophet ﷺ. So there's some very specific things that I wanted to talk about that relate to good character. And obviously with Ramadan coming in about 2 weeks or 2.5 weeks, a lot of what we do during the month of Ramadan relates to our character, in changing our character and improving it. Obviously a lot of it has to do with discipline. Right? The first part of it obviously is refraining from food and drink and intimacy with one's spouse, all these basic bodily needs. But the other aspect of the fast is to refrain from one's emotional aspects. For example, anger, talking too much about whatever, or having ill thoughts about people. All of these things are part of the fast. And the whole idea of the month of Ramadan is to try to change our behavior, all of the habits and things that we picked up during the year. We use that time and opportunity to remove those things. It's like dredging a lake. You put a dam on a lake and you basically have an opportunity to dredge all of the refuse and the filth that's collected on there. So it's kind of a time to really increase one's iman and also one's character. Right, so all of these things relate to character. So a couple of things that relate to good character, that we define as good character. Generosity. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the most generous of people. Right, everything that he had was basically, he offered it, almost whatever he had in excess, he gave it away. Right, he was one of the most generous of people. And he was known to almost never say no to a person. Somebody came to him for something, one of the things that was his hallmark is he never said no to something. If somebody wanted something from him, a physical thing, he never said no to them. And that was one of his aspects of his character. And in fact, these aspects are manifested in the behavior of his companions. And we know that there's a very interesting example of, there's a sahaba, Abu Talha, who was very poor. And he had been asked, the Prophet came and he asked, I have a guest, who will take my guest for me? Right? He had a guest who was actually Abu Huraira, one of the other companions, who was very, very poor. And so Abu Talha invited him over, he said, I'll take him home. So he took him home and they didn't have very much food. Abu Talha himself didn't have very much food. But what he did was his wife, they put the kids, they only had food for the children, they put the children to bed, they turned out the lights, And they basically made it dark enough so that Abu Huraira, who was the guest, wouldn't see that they didn't have food in their plates. They were just miming, eating. So he would think that they're eating too. But they just, whatever they had, they fed him with it. So he was the only one who ate. And the next day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there was a revelation in regards to the happiness, the joy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had because of the act of Abu Talha and his wife. So we know that generosity is something that is taught to us by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and it's something that's recognized by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala as one of the greatest characteristics of a Muslim, that they're generous. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the most generous of people. The other aspect of good character is overlooking people's faults. Right? In Arabic we would call it yataghaffalu, overlooking people's negative qualities. And obviously as human beings, we're in constant interaction with people of every type, background and, employment, whatever it may be. We're dealing with all different types of stripes of people. And some are very good people, and some people can be a little rough around the edges. And if you've got, obviously many of us are married, part of the success of a good marriage is that the spouse overlooked the faults of one another. and brothers and sisters and friends. The reason why people get along is because they're able to overlook the faults of one another. There's no person who is perfect. We all have certain idiosyncrasies or certain characteristics or certain qualities that may not be very appealing to another person. But the reason why we're able to get along is because we overlook them. Especially with spouse. He's always doing these. And part of the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ was he overlooked people's faults. That's how he was able to deal with so many people. And that's why so many people came to the Prophet ﷺ, and that's why so many people embraced Islam. Most of it was because of his character. One of the other things that the Prophet ﷺ taught us as an aspect of good character is controlling one's anger. Right? And this is a big... This is a big part of good character. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ, a person came to him and he asked him, what is good character? And he told him, don't get angry. And he asked him again, he said, don't get angry. And he repeated it again. And so the ulama basically used this as a way to teach us. This is a hadith that was teaching us that anger is a huge part of having, you know, bad character. If we can get rid of that, then we've solved a lot of our problems. And we all know the things that have been spoken from our lips and the things that people do, maybe we've done, out of anger. Right? There's that short burst of time when people can engage in all types of things only because of their anger. They have no other rational reason for doing what they've done, except that they suffer this moment of rage, right? And of course, after the event is done and over, and the person has time to cool down, then they regret what they've done, right? And so, controlling one's anger in the beginning would result in a lot of, you know, problems being avoided for ourselves and for the people around us. And so that's one aspect of having good character, controlling one's anger. Another aspect that the Prophet ﷺ taught us through his action and through his sunnah was honoring people, regardless of their station and regardless of their background. We know that the Prophet ﷺ, some of the earliest people who embraced Islam, were not the wealthy people, were not the nobles of his society, but they were average, everyday people. They were poor people. They were the people who in a tribal society would be completely dismissed as insignificant. But the Prophet ﷺ never thought of any person as insignificant. Because he knew this is a person who's created, who's a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we don't know what their station is in Allah's eyes. We may see them as an average person, maybe a poor person, maybe a person who doesn't speak very much. But we don't know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thinks of that person. And there's many, many examples from the life of the Prophet ﷺ of how he regarded certain people that everybody else never thought of as anything special. One of these people was a man named Julaydeeb. And he's a very interesting person. He was actually what we would call a dwarf. Like, he was physically, he didn't have a proper stature. Julaydeeb is like the short form of someone who's very short, right? And so, he had no tribal affiliation, he had no family, and he was a person who was mocked by the rest of society. He was just kind of an outcast. And this person, Julaydeeb, embraced Islam, and he became a Muslim. And after he became a Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ wanted to find a wife for him. And so he went to one of the Sahaba and he said, I have a mask for your daughter. And so the Sahaba was actually very happy. He thought it was the Prophet ﷺ who wanted to propose for his daughter. So he got very excited and he said, actually, I would like to propose your daughter's marriage for Julaydeeb. So he actually got a little disappointed. One, because it wasn't the Prophet ﷺ, and two, is because it was Julaydeeb, this person who in society was otherwise, considered a kind of an outcast. And so he went home and told his wife, this Sahaba, that the Prophet proposed a marriage for our daughter. And again, and he said, actually, it's for Julaydi. And so they were a little taken aback by this proposal. The daughter was listening to this whole discussion, and she actually heard what they were saying, and she said, no, if the Prophet ﷺ thinks this is a good match, then I will marry him. And so this example, I mean, there's all different lessons that we can learn from this, but one of the lessons was that the Prophet ﷺ didn't think of this person as Julaydeed, as somebody insignificant. Not only did he think of him as somebody very special, but he even took the time to find a wife for him. He actually personally went out to try to make this match for him. And there's another example of a woman who used to sweep the masjid. She was actually maybe from the Habesh, which is west East Africa. And so she was an elderly woman who used to sweep the masjid. Nobody even really knew her name. She used to come and just do it anonymously and leave. And so one day the Prophet ﷺ came, she said, what happened to that woman? And the Prophet and the Sahaba told her, they told her, she died and we buried her. And when he found out, he got very upset. He said, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me that she died? I would have gone and made a janazah for her. Right? So even these people who we think is, we don't notice them, but Allah notices them, and the Prophet ﷺ noticed them. So we should always remember that. We should never look down on a person because of what we presume to be a certain background or what appearances may show us to be somebody of a very, you know, humble nature. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Allah's eyes, that person may be the greatest human being. Better than us. Right? One of the ways that the people that have spread Islam, one of the things that they have said, that the way they spread Islam is the way they treat people. The non-Muslims, they treat them in a way, they assume that those people are better than them. When they go to them and they deal with them. So they treat them with absolute respect and honor, because in the end of the day, that person may become a Muslim and still may be better than us. Right? And if we know the story of Umar bin Khattab, if you knew the story of Umar bin Khattab before he was a Muslim, he was an idol worshipper, he used to drink heavily. He was known as a rough person. But the time between the time before he became Muslim, if you saw him, if you met him before he became Muslim, you probably wouldn't think very much of him. And if you met him afterwards, and we know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thinks of him, he's one of the 10 people who is guaranteed paradise. So we don't know. When we see a person, you don't know what their end may be, and we don't know what our end may be. So it's in our own best interest to, when we see a person, to treat them with respect. Because we don't know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thinks of that person. Right? Umar bin Khattab, it said about him that Allah loved him, and that's why he became what he became. Even when he was in the state of kufr, even when he was an idol worshipper, Allah knew that he would be what he would become. Right? So we don't know what, when we see a person, we don't know what their end will be. The Prophet ﷺ always treated people with respect. He gave people kunyas, like an honorable name, like Abu so-and-so. Right? That's a form of honoring a person by giving them, even children, he would give them these kunyas, these special names, as a way of honoring them. So we know that these are all aspects of the Prophet ﷺ teaching us good character. Right? The other aspect of good character is husnul dhan. This is one of the things that the Prophet ﷺ taught us, is having a good opinion of people. Right? Again, and it relates to this previous aspect that I talked about, is more specifically when we see a person, we have a good opinion of them. And specifically, if we see something that may be displeasing to us, or may appear to be haram maybe to us, we have husna dhan for them. We have a good opinion of them. We give them excuses. Right? The Prophet ﷺ said, give your brother 70 excuses. Right? We see them doing something wrong, we assume that there must be a reason why they're doing this. The brother hasn't called you back, you call somebody, they haven't called you back in weeks. You assume, okay, maybe the brother is busy, maybe he's traveling. Right? You see a brother walking out of a bar. Right? Maybe he was there, so he has to use... This actually happened to me. I actually was driving, I got lost in the mountains. The only place I could find was a little place, it was a pool hall and a bar. Right? I walked in there and I asked for directions to get to the place I needed to go. But if you maybe saw me walking out of that place, you might be thinking, oh man, what's that brother doing walking out of a bar? Right? You might suddenly start jumping to conclusions. Right? And so the husna dhan would be to assume, well, there probably is a good reason why that person has gone to this place, or is doing this thing. We don't know what people's circumstances are, so appearances can be deceiving. And that was the way of the Prophet ﷺ. He never wanted to hear anything bad about a person. He didn't want it to taint their opinions. Maybe some of the brothers can move up, inshallah, so people can sit. And the last aspect of having good character is controlling one's tongue, or controlling one's speech. And especially in relation to Ramadan, we know that we want to always control our speech. There's two aspects of the speech which I'll get into shortly. But having good speech is an integral part of having good character, right? Because it's how we communicate with people. So all we're doing when we talk to people is, you know, backbiting somebody else, or we are lying, or we're telling things that are untruthful. All of those things are going to count against us. And it's one of the easiest ways to accumulate bad deeds. Right? It's just our tongue. We're not even aware of it. Right? These things just come out of our mouth about this person or that person, or on the phone, you know, in our dealings with people. We're saying things that may be completely the opposite of what the Prophet ﷺ taught us. Right? And I'm going to give you a definition of this. There's two aspects I want to talk about. Good speech, or a speech that would be a reflection of our character. One is riba, which is backbiting, and the other is lying. Right. So the definition of riba, which we refer to as backbiting, specifically is saying something about a person that if they were in your presence and you said it, they would be offended by it. Right? It's not that it's true, right? Some people say, you know, oh, that person is very heavy. And if you know, they say, well, it's a true fact, they are heavy. But if that person was in front of you and you said that to them, they would be offended by it. That's how you know it's riba, even if it's true. Even if you know it's a factual statement that you've made, if the person would be offended by it, it's considered riba, backbiting. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likens riba, backbiting, as eating the flesh of your dead brother. Right? So just imagine what that is. Imagine that image in your head. Eating the flesh of a corpse. Right? It's one of the most repulsive things that you could probably imagine. Abhorrent. That's what Allah likens backbiting a person. And it's something that we do. It's easy to do. Right? But look at what Allah says about it. Would you eat the flesh of your dead brother? Would you? No. None of us would do that. We would run as far as we can from something like that. So we should always be careful about what we're saying about a person. Just make sure we imagine the person standing there. If the person is standing there, would I say this thing about them? Right? And the other aspect of our speech is lying. Right? And this is also something that can be easily done by people. Somebody calls you on the phone, even if it's a telemarketer, can I speak to so-and-so? And some people will say, well, they're not home. Right? Or they'll tell what are called in our society white lies. Right? White lies is little things that you won't tell completely, or you'll change the facts on. And these are things that the Prophet ﷺ said, Muslims do not lie. Right? If we represent the truth, then why are we telling things that are false? Right? So it's something that is a reflection that Muslims are supposed to be known as truthful people. Right? As truthful people in all of our dealings. In everything that we do. Truthful people. Even if it hurts us sometimes, it behooves us to tell the truth. There's some exceptions to that. Which are that if it's to mend relations between two friends or two brothers, then you could say things about them. Well, you know, so and so really loves you. He said that you're a really good person. You know, to mend relations, or between spouses. Right? This is the best food I've ever eaten in my entire life. Right? That may not exactly be true, but your wife has made it. You may have to say that to build the relation, to build the love. And so these are things that are permissible in those realms. And there's a couple of other exceptions that don't necessarily relate to us, like warfare and things like that. We're not concerned with those aspects. But these are all aspects that relate to good character. And we know that the Prophet ﷺ taught us these things for our own benefit. So that on the day of judgment, we reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a pure heart. And with as weighty a good character as possible, so that it weighs in our favor. We ask Allah for forgiveness, inshaAllah, that He forgives us for our shortcomings. الحمد لله رب العالمين إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك من الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. So just to recap, and people came and we were talking about good character, aspects of good character. And to really build those aspects of good character, some of the things that we can do in our everyday life. Two things that I left, that I ended with just before the dua, was to focus on our speech. Right? Since Ramadan is coming, it's a time of change, it's a time of improving our character, it's a time of allowing us to completely be people of good character. Right? And so we can use this opportunity starting now, right? So that when Ramadan comes, it's easy for us. That one of the aspects of fasting is to control our speech. So let's focus on those two things. And I'll give everybody a challenge. You watch your speech for 3 days and count how many times you might say something about a person that would count as riba. Saying something about them that if they were in your presence, they would be offended by. Right? And to really add the challenge, let it be anybody. Let it be a colleague, and a boss, a politician, right? Because they're in front of you. Would you say something about a politician to their face? Would you say it? Most people probably wouldn't say it, right? So, I mean, obviously there's factual situations that you're unhappy with. Those are different in relation to changing them. But making personal attacks about people, that, you know, they're scoundrels, and their nose is too big, and, you know, things like that are not the way of the public selection. So everybody can move up again, inshallah. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq in changing ourselves such that our characters are characters that reflect the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that on the day of judgment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recognizes us as the people of good character, and that our character is weighed heavily in our favor, not against us. انصرنا فإنك خير الناصرين وافتحنا فإنك خير الفاتحين واغفر لنا فإنك خير الغافرين وارحمنا فإنك خير الراحمين وارزقنا فإنك خير الرازقين واهدنا ونجنا من القوم الظالمين وهب لنا رائحة طيبة كما هي في علمك وانشرها علينا من خزائن رحمتك واحملنا بها حملا كرامة السلامة العافية في الدين والدنيا والآخرة إنك على كل شيء قدير سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.